Welcome to the Meet Me Downstairs podcast. I'm your host, Britt, and I'm here to bring you some real-ass conversations about what it means to be a woman, what it means to be a mother, what it means to really just live in this world in female skin and feel empowered and educated and connected to our body. So the type of conversations that you're gonna hear are gonna be with a mixture of experts in the field of female existence and also real women, real mothers, just wanting to share a window into their world so that we can connect better. Remember, you're never alone. Your sisters are right here on the other end of your speaker, and you can always message us to connect deeper. So get ready to learn about yourself, to love yourself, and just embrace this experience. Pop in your headphones, turn up your speaker loud, and let's do the damn thing. Well, hi, and welcome back to another episode. Today, we are talking about reclaiming our power to birth. And this topic is one that I hold very close to my heart, especially being a doula. I just see the immense potential of instinctual birth and the incredible need to kind of shift the narrative from birth being this really painful, scary experience to one that is liberating and primal. And I couldn't think of a better person to join me in this conversation than Olivia Bowen, who is the founder of her Holistic Path, which is a resource that I actually used a lot during my pregnancy and especially breastfeeding. She's so passionate about instinctual birth, and she's also an incredible advocate for the Black maternal community in the United States. And, today we get into a little bit of everything. We talk about the way society has depicted our birth narrative, the most common fears surrounding birth, and how we can reframe them. We talk about the tragic and increasing rates of Black maternal deaths and the resources that Black mamas can use to feel more confident in birth. We get into hospital births versus home births and lots of other things in between. It's an amazing conversation, and it just so happens to come out during the hashtag Black Maternal Health Week. So I love when things synchronistically align like that. And Olivia also hosts an amazing workshop called the Melanated Birth Workshop. So if you are a pregnant mama or somebody who works in the birth community, especially in the States, or you're just interested in what she has to say, then please check that out. It's all linked in the show notes and through her IG page, which is at Her Holistic Path, or her website, www.herholisticpath.com. All right. Enjoy this amazing episode. Hi, Olivia. Thank you so much for joining us today. We are going to talk about reclaiming our power to birth, which I am just so happy that we get to have this discussion. You know, too often women and families are kind of going into their birth experience with the bare minimum and a lot of fear of the unknown, and we're kind of dictated by society that birth is this really painful experience, that it happens in a sterile environment, that these natural feelings that we get are somehow wrong. And that's super scary. And I remember going into my birth feeling very scared. I didn't really know about doulas at that point. And yeah, finding you and finding your page was a source of comfort for me. So it's a great honor to have you kind of share this and help talk to women about just reclaiming our power to give birth. So thank you for joining. Please give our guests a quick little intro of you, and then we're going to get into the podcast.
Okay, cool. Well, thank you for having me. Like I said, I just love talking about birth, and it's always a good day for me where I get to talk about birth with someone. So yes, my name's Olivia. I'm the creator of Her Holistic Path, which has really, it's just been a documentation of my own journey through motherhood, but it's also been a place for me to openly share, and I don't like to say educate, but just prepare people and give my own insights on holistic birth and holistic motherhood.
Love it so much. And I really do. And your page really is like that. And I know you say not like to educate, but I've learned so much from you. I really have. And it's been such a great resource to have to kind of refer back to. And I've become a doula myself, and I'm always looking at you as a source of inspiration. So Yes, it's great. And my first question is really about culture and society and how it's shaped really the narrative of birth. And I just wanted to get your thoughts and how you think society has played a role in that.
Oh, it's huge. It's everything. I mean, the society that you're born into, it molds you. It makes you who you are. Of course, we have our genetics and we come here with some degree of personality. But, you know, those first 7 years of life, we're just straight subconscious. We're programmable. And it's so easy. And so when you look at our culture, what you see is, you know, a lot of fear. And out of that fear is emanating all sorts of distortions of the truth and distortions of what is actually real when it comes to how our bodies function. And of course, that fear is both within parents, it's within mothers, fathers, you know, grandmothers, aunties, uncles, everyone in the family is typically has some sort of fear of birth, but has been normalized, right? And so we pacify that discomfort that we have about birth with relying on the medical system, with giving up our power, with kind of being like yes man to doctors and nurses. And I just think that, yeah, it's so much history to get into, but I guess I'd say the short version is somewhere along the line, doctors wanted to monopolize on birth, at least in the US. Mm-hmm. And the way that they did that was through fear of the safety of birth, specifically because, you know, in the late 1800s, the mid 1800s, we had things like rickets were really common. We had issues with sanitation. People didn't understand simple things like hygiene and washing your hands. And so this made health issues just a big problem. And so it was the perfect time for someone in a white coat to come in and say, I will save you from your, you know, horrible birth experience, and I'll make sure you're safe. And on top of that, they implanted this fear of the sensations, what is it actually going to feel like to birth your baby. So it's a double whammy. Mm-hmm. People are scared of their own body. They think their baby is not going to be born without heavy medical assistance and medical management. And they also are scared of what it's actually going to feel like to give birth and to be in labor. And so the combination of that through stories that we hear from people, through the way that we're programmed, through TV, mm-hmm. through our interactions with the medical system, all of that just brings us to a place where we're not willing to trust ourselves and trust our bodies.
Yeah. Yes, I completely agree and couldn't have said it better myself. It's really amazing how it's just been depicted over all of this time. And only now in 2021 are people starting to question this. Like all of these years have had to go by for us to kind of start to think, well, is this right? I mean, home birth, water birth, those things are taboo, which is crazy. But yeah, at least we're in a place now where we can start to have these conversations and kind of help, you know, hold the hands of women and just say, it's okay. This is your time. You get to do this. This is your body. This is your birth. And mm-hmm. this is how we can kind of rewrite history a little bit. And in your work as a doula, speaking of fears and things like that, what do you tend to witness that kind of comes up most for women?
Oh man, it's always the same thing. It's always the same thing. It's pretty much people are generally scared of how birth is going to feel, especially mm-hmm. if you're dealing with a first-time mom or if you're dealing with someone who has had births before, but they were like cesarean births or maybe they had an epidural birth. So that's the biggest thing. How is it going to feel? And again, because TV and even stories that you hear, that's the other thing. You hear stories from real people. And so it perpetuates this idea that the only sensation that you will feel is pain. Mm. And no one, I often compare it to sex. We know it's common knowledge that sex can be beautifully orgasmic and amazing, but it also can be traumatic and painful and difficult. But with birth, you don't have that same conversation. Mm. So people don't know that there's another side. They only think that it's going to be painful. So most people are afraid of that. A lot of people are afraid of tearing. That's mm-hmm. a big one that I always get is, how do I prevent tearing? Or I'm scared to have a natural birth because I'm going to tear. Or did you tear? Like, they always ask me, did you tear during your birth? So I would say those are the top two. When it comes to my clients who are Black, I definitely get those questions about, like, well, can we talk about, like, the Black maternal mortality thing? Like, what's going on? What do you understand about it? So I think those are the biggest fears. And then, of course, for people who are planning a natural birth, they have a fear of it not happening.
Right.
They're afraid of, well, what if I end up with a cesarean? You know, what if I can't do it? What if I can't endure? So those are the big things that I see most of the time.
Yeah. And then how can we sort of reframe these fears or misconceptions? Like, what are the types of things that you'd sort of say to ease these mamas that you're working with?
Well, it's a combination of, you know, education and preparation. And I try to make a distinction between those two things, because I can educate you and I can learn you something, right? I can show you, like, a study. I can put something up on a chalkboard and give you new information. But because of the way that our human minds work, that one little nugget of information may not be enough to actually shift the paradigm within you. It may not be enough to shift how you actually think, right? I might tell you, oh, you know, there's like 50 studies on, like, how safe home birth is. Right. That's not actually real. Like, for people listening, it's way lower than that. But if I say that to you, you may still have neural pathways that are very strong in your mind that say, nope, home birth is not safe. So that's where the preparation comes in. And you have to take actionable steps to creating a new reality and a new paradigm within your own brain. So that can look like being very consistent with reading birth stories. Stories are super powerful mm-hmm. for rewiring the brain and giving the brain information, because it works with symbols and imagery. You can also use affirmations and hypnosis and meditation. Those are things that I feel like a broken record when I'm talking to my clients, but it's one of the easiest things that you can utilize, because we live in the age of technology. You can get on your computer and type in peaceful birth affirmations. And while you're sleeping, you're literally reprogramming your subconscious mind. It's, you know, I don't like to use the word brainwashing, but I think that people are more familiar with brainwashing than they are with things like guided meditation and hypnosis and, you know, rewiring your subconscious mind. So those are the two things that I like to use, like affirmations, mm-hmm. birth stories, but also using things like art, you know, drawing out what your birth is going to look like, using things like crystals and, like I said, meditation, and just starting pretty much what I call like a self-care practice for your pregnancy. So you can be really intentional about how you want to feel when you're having your baby.
Yeah, amazing. And you did mention this, and I really want to talk about this as well, just sort of the racial injustices that come up with birth. And the statistics are shocking, especially in the States, where Black women are 3 times more likely to die from maternal related issues than white women. And they say that 60% of these deaths are deemed preventable, which is, oh my gosh, it's very, very shocking. And then, you know, if we're thinking of, well, we want to reclaim our power to birth, we need to protect birth for all women. So what are kind of things that you see every day that stem from these ingrained prejudices? And then how can we work toward changing it so that birth is safe for everyone?
Ooh, there's a lot to unpack.
Yeah, big things. We can break it down.
Yeah. First, I want to say that, like, currently the statistics are actually Black women are 4 to 5 times more likely.
Okay, so it's gone up.
Yeah. And so, of course, when you're looking at the articles that came out, you know, just a few years ago, it's like, mm-hmm. you can see in real time that it's not getting better. It's getting worse. So, okay, repeat the first part of the question.
Okay. So the first part is, if we're going to protect birth for all women, I want to talk first about the things that you're seeing in your work or that you're seeing in society that stems from these ingrained prejudices. So
yes. So here's the thing, and this is a hard pill for people to swallow because we're living in the age of all lives matter. And what the reality is, obviously all lives don't matter because Black women wouldn't be dying at these rates. Black people wouldn't be getting shot in broad daylight. So that this is a sort of a fantasy that we're trying to bring into reality. And it's more of the ethos that I think people identify with. But the reality is, from what we're seeing, they don't matter to a lot of people. So I think the thing that we have to understand is that the issues that we see in the maternal health system, whether it's a Black person, a white person, whomever, primarily they all stem from white supremacy because they stem from slavery. Mm-hmm. At least in the States, from my understanding, from my research, from what I've gathered, when you look at the history of birth, which is intertwined with the history of midwifery and the history of slavery, you'll see that slavery and obstetrics and gynecology had a synergistic relationship, meaning they were literally dependent on the slave population in order to experiment, to understand the female anatomy, to understand the reproductive system. And, Black people were literally lab rats for the growing obstetric community. So when you look at it like that, mm-hmm. and you can begin to trace back a lot of the issues that we see, something as simple as not asking for consent, right? When you put it in the context of slavery, there was no consent for anything. A slave master did whatever he wanted to do with whatever slave he owned, right? Mm-hmm. And so when you draw it back to that, it's very obvious. Oh, well, it's just the carryover. Yeah. Right. This is the time period that obstetrics was founded in. So, of course, it just carries over. And a lot of what we see stemming from that time period is implicit bias. It's where people have conflicting ideas about Black bodies and about people who are just having babies, whether they're Black or not. This idea that Black people feel pain on a different way, that we can sustain more pain. It's actually a known fact that Black people in the emergency room get medicine, like get pain medicine, less often than white people. Mm-hmm. And I experienced this myself with surgery. I tried to get pain medicine and I was told, no, you have to wait, but I was in excruciating pain. So I'm kind of diverging here, but a lot of what we're seeing is Black people not being listened to. Yeah. And of course, this isn't just Black people. I will openly admit that plenty of women go into the maternal system, the maternal health system, and they don't get listened to. It's just that Black women are experiencing this at higher rates, and they're experiencing it to the degree where we actually die. Yeah. Kira Johnson is it's a sad example, but it's an excellent example of how it's really just that simple. Someone didn't listen when they were told, hey, something's wrong with my wife. Can y'all come and check on her? And they were told, your wife's not a priority. They waited too long and this woman passed away right in the hospital. So a lot of healthcare providers, I think, are carrying a bias towards Black women that they do not know that they have.
Yeah.
And that's what makes it so lethal when the person who is carrying that bias doesn't even see it.
Yeah.
I don't know if that answered the question, but if it didn't, you can ask me another, you ask me the question again.
No, but I mean, it's true. It's true. And I think it's important to kind of talk about that stuff and imagining that these biases are subconscious. And that is a very lethal part of the process. Because if you're not realizing that these are the things that are happening, then how are you even going to try and change it or affect it? And I suppose the second part of that question was, how can we work toward creating this change? Like, what are the things that we can do or encourage people to do? Because, I mean, is it just avoid hospitals altogether? I mean, that's a hard thing to be able to do, but how can we then start to work as a team, like as a unity of women, as a unity of birth workers to right this wrong?
Yes, there's so much there. I think that first, I'll say that sometimes things call for unity and sometimes they don't. Mm. And I think that we have to be very real as Black women to say, if you have the option to create a birth team that looks like you, understands you, is culturally competent to, you know, whatever society you're living in, has a true connection to you, that's optimal.
Yeah.
And I also, but on that same note, want to say, don't just hire a Black OB or a Black midwife and think that you're good to go. Mm. Because someone presenting as Black doesn't mean that they have a connection with you. It doesn't mean that they care about you. It doesn't, the skin, the phenotype alone can't carry the weight of your decision. So look into these people. Mm-hmm. And that would be my second point. When you pick a midwife or an OB or a hospital or birth center, look into them. What are their rates? Like most people, when you go to a fancy restaurant where you know you're going to spend a lot of money, you get on Yelp. You look at the reviews. Most women, before we put something in our Etsy cart or before we, you know, order something off of Fashion Nova or whatever, we look at the reviews. We live in the day, in the age of reviews. But when it comes to birth, people will literally just go, eeny, meeny, miny, mo, who's the closest to, and that's it. So ask about these people, get on those Facebook groups and say, hey, who can tell me about their experience with this midwife or that OB or that hospital or that birth center? Because it may be you find people that say, oh, my experience was horrible. And there was definitely some bias and some racism. Or you may find, okay, my experience was great. Go with this person. So I would say that's one thing that you can do. Another thing, which is, it's going to sound kind of vague, but it's important, is to heal your ancestral line within your womb. Most of us are born into some level of womb trauma that's carried from either immediate generations, from our mothers and grandmothers, or further down the lineage with our ancestors from generations and generations ago. But either way, you're more than likely to be a person who carries trauma. Mm. So start to build a practice within your life. And it doesn't have to be every day. It can come in seasons and in cycles where you sit with yourself, or maybe you sit with your mother, you sit with your grandmother, and you talk to them about their experiences with their womb. I know for me personally, I held certain fears about my womb and I didn't understand why I had those fears. I talked to my grandmother and she shared with me her experiences. And I said, oh, that's why I'm afraid of that. Mm. That's where that came from.
Isn't that amazing?
So strong within me. And then that gave me the power to say, okay, I'm going to do, you know, a release. And for some people that may look very spiritual. For me, that may involve, you know, waiting for the right kind of astrological alignments and doing things within my own home that helped me to release. But for other people, it may look different, but definitely do some womb healing and some womb exploration. And even just build a relationship with yourself in your womb. What are the things that you've gone through just in your lifetime that you're holding on to, that are weighing you down, that are impacting you in that sacral chakra and that root chakra? So there's that, but then there's also some very kind of practical things, like, are there toxins that are in your home? Are there toxins specifically for Black women in your hair care products? Black women are more likely to have toxins in their hair care products that are not listed on the label. So just like going through that whole ordeal of cleaning out your products in your kitchen, cleaning out the products in your bathroom, cleaning your beauty routine up so that you're not, you know, ingesting all these toxins, which can disrupt the endocrine system, which is directly related to birth. Those are the more like inward things you can do as an individual, but of course, collectively, we're just trying to undo the damage of racism, basically.
Yeah. And I just thought it was great what you were saying in the, like, just at the beginning there, where you were talking about, you know, doctors and OBs and like looking into the people that you're looking to put on your team. And I think it's amazing, really, because when you just go, you assume that what they're saying is right. Like, you assume that they have their best interest because they're a doctor. They know this. They've studied this. Like, doctors are right. And so it's just incredible that that is the thing that's also that we have to undo as well in our minds, that we're going in and sort of thinking, well, maybe they don't actually know everything. And so where I'm from is an island called Barbados, and it's a very small island. And I recently did my, like, recorded my birth story, and the first OB that I went to go and see was a very, very popular OB here. And I went because everybody I knew was going to them, and I just assumed then that that's what it was. But I went and I really had a terrible experience, and I just switched halfway through. And when I told people I switched, they were like, oh my God, you did that? Like, it seemed like this big thing that I went and switched out of this care that I didn't feel safe with and went to somebody else. But I mean, even that, women are like, well, I had that experience, but I just stayed. And it's just like, well, you know, we're not listening to our instincts. We're not trusting our gut. Like, we've completely lost that sense of like self-reliance when it comes to birth, because it's been so medicalized or sterilized. And I suppose, in the sense, like, learning about what it feels like, doing birth education classes, like talking to whether you hire a doula or not, but maybe talking to one and just sort of understanding for yourself or your partner to understand what it is like to go through, what it's like to have these wishes that you create for yourself, and to then speak up if you feel like it's not being catered to.
Yes, I totally agree. And one of the things I tell my clients is that you have to practice speaking up for yourself while you're pregnant. Mm-hmm. Don't wait till you're in the hospital or in the birth center or at home even to try to assert yourself, because your hormones are literally going to make you, you know, acquiesce. And if you don't have the habit, that muscle of standing up for yourself strengthened, then you may not be able to flex it when you need to. And I also think that, you know, it's something that it's something that I talk about often, but it's a big ask because I used to just say, you know, don't use the system. Because over 90% of people in the U.S. go to the hospital. Black women are dying 243% more than white women. They're not dying at home. When you look at the numbers, it's obvious. They're not dying at home. We don't have enough women birthing at home to come up with those numbers, right? So they're dying in the hospital. We know this, which means the hospital isn't doing their one claim to fame, which is keeping you safe. And so, you know, I used to kind of come out of answer that question straight away with, we'll just do away with the system. But I understand now that that's a big ask for a lot of people, and a lot of people just aren't there yet. But I feel like if you are there, or if you're kind of there and you're just waiting for the push, don't use the system, because it's not doing the one thing that it's supposed to do, which is keep you and your baby safe.
Yeah.
I really encourage home birth. I really encourage, if you feel like it's an alignment and you're ready to take the journey, consider free birth. Mm. Consider getting a traditional midwife that doesn't have her allegiance pledged to the state, and she doesn't have to work within the parameters of medicalized midwifery. You know, get a traditional midwife who's willing to respect you and care for you in a holistic way. And I think that's a huge, huge part of the conversation when we talk about solutions for this problem. But in order for us to actually utilize that solution, people have to not be afraid of birth.
And it's, I don't know if this is the same in the States, but even down here, there's politics with doctors and hospitals. So mm-hmm. you go to this one, but they only deliver at this specific hospital. You go to another doctor and they're only delivering at this specific hospital. And so even there, that's like, well, you guys don't have my interest at just in that specific instance. It's like, well, if I want to birth here, but have you as my doctor, you're telling me no, that I can't. So it's just all these things that I'm just seeing and noticing as my, like, these blinders have been pulled off at being like, well, no wonder we're scared. No wonder we're not being understood. No wonder we're walking away with more traumatic experiences than we are with these sort of like natural ones. And I just am always in awe of like, oh, how do we get back there? Like, how can we really just reclaim this power that we have to birth? And well, that's really my next question is, what are ways in which we as women can reclaim our power to birth?
Yes, I think that, you know, part of that reclaiming is understanding that the system wasn't built for you. Mm-hmm. And so the system is doing an excellent job at what it was built for, which was to systematize the birthing process and standardize the birthing process. It was modeled after the industrial complex during the Industrial Revolution. So it's doing exactly what it's supposed to be doing. It's making money, it's making a profit, it's, you know, turning customers. And so part of reclaiming it, reclaiming your birth experience, is unlearning. Mm-hmm. That's the huge, huge part in getting back to instinctual birth, right? Unlearning all of what the standardized, medicalized birth has taught you about what it's supposed to look like, what it's supposed to feel like, what's safe, what's not safe. And unlearn that. And I think when you unlearn it, things tend to really unfold. Your next step kind of unfolds naturally. But I would say, if you don't know what your next step is after that, you have to have trust within your body. And that goes back to building a relationship with yourself during your pregnancy, just making a commitment to do things that are going to put you in the seat of power, right? A lot of people acquiesce to the system because they feel like they have no power because they don't know. Mm-hmm. They don't know if the epidural is really going to slow down their labor. They don't know if they really actually need a C-section because they've been in labor for 24 hours. They don't know. So they just acquiesce and say, okay, because that's, they feel like the safest thing they can do. And it's kind of a double-edged sword, and it's a very thin line to walk, because I don't advocate for people to be obsessed with educating themselves or to be obsessed with information, because instinctual birth can be a very liberating experience in the way that there's information already inside of you. Yeah. Like your hormones, that's information. Your hormones are literally, if you look up the definition of a hormone, it's messengers, right? Yes. And if you have a, if there's a messenger, then that means there's some sort of information. So the fact that you're producing all of this information and it's telling your body what to do is almost enough by itself, as long as we can get out of the way. And so that's the other side of the coin is, can you deprogram yourself enough to get out of the way of what your body already knows how to do?
Yeah.
And then after that, you know, you may want to consider, okay, what are some things that can help you on your journey? What are some herbs that can help you? What are some meditation and mental practices? What are some exercises and yoga and things of that nature? All of those are great. But if you don't have a trust in yourself and the ability to surrender, then I think that's where people can kind of start.
Wow. I love that so much. That's very powerful. You know, finding that line, trusting your body just for a moment. Cause then the other thing is yeah, you then go too far. You learn everything that you can. And then you're like, okay, well now I'm going to do it exactly like this. And then you remove that space for yourself to do it on its own. That was great. Thank you for sharing that. And just thank you for your time and just having this conversation with me. I also love talking about this stuff so much. And I would really also love to hear about her holistic path and your platform and the energy that's behind it and why you're doing this.
Sure. So I would say the energy behind her holistic path is explorative. It's curious. It is biased. And I try to be very upfront about that with people. I am a holistic person at heart. I think we're all holistic, just not consciously, but I'm very, very natural person, always have been. And so I'm always coming from a place of, you know, the nature has the answers, right? The nature is the law. And yeah, that's kind of what I emanate. I guess some people may call it a bit radical. I just call it kind of straightforward and honest.
Yeah. Not radical, just honest.
But it may feel radical to some people. And yeah, it definitely took me a moment to adjust to kind of being, I don't want to say stereotyped, but put into that category of people who are like, why are you only talking about natural birth? Why are you like, don't like OBs and you don't like hospitals and like, why? But yeah, now I'm much more comfortable and confident with the energy that's within her holistic path. Yeah.
Amazing. Well, I think you're doing a wonderful job and I'm grateful for what you're putting out there. And I know there's many, many women who are. So you're on the right path, if that makes anything better, at least from an outsider. And then my last question. So I kind of created this podcast a couple months postpartum and I was like, felt super lonely. I didn't know what was happening. I just was like, there has to be a space where people are talking about this kind of stuff. And so I created it as a way to honor the woman within the mother and the woman within ourselves to just get real and talk about things that may be a bit uncomfortable and just try and find a community in that. And I always like to ask my guests this question, which is, how do you honor the woman within you?
Yeah, I love that question. So, and I was thinking about this earlier, so I think I kind of take it at different angles. Before self-care, before like the actual, I do this, I, you know, do a face mask and a bubble bath and all that stuff, I would say I honor the woman within me simply by being honest with her. And it's so simple, but there's definitely been a theme in my life where honesty in honoring that honesty of how I truly feel, when I talk to this person or when I go to this place or when I'm around this group of people or when I'm doing this particular thing or when I'm at work, and being honest with that and being able to make decisions from that honest place. Again, it sounds really simple, but you know, as women especially, we are conditioned to acquiesce quite a bit, mm-hmm. you know, with our within our family dynamics, within social groups, at work. And so it's just been a process of uncovering the layers of myself that I feel are deemed worthy to be seen, to be respected. So that plus, you know, yoni steams and face mask.
I like that you talked about being honest because it sounds simple, but it's actually really hard to do. And it can be really scary to do. So yeah. If you can start to implement that practice in a way that's gentle and then you get more comfortable with doing that, that can unlock so much potential for us in our lives. So I really like that.
In your birth.
Yes. Oh, wow. Well, thank you so much, really, for taking the time to have this conversation. It means a lot to me and to my listeners. And if there's anything that you would like to share, like to close off, please do. Otherwise, that's it.
Sure. So I just love to invite anyone who is interested. I, as a doula, have noticed that there's just a huge influx of people interested in becoming birth workers. And some of the really biggest and most popular organizations that train doulas, they don't talk very much about racial injustice or Black maternal mortality or how to be culturally competent. So if those types of things do matter to you, I'll be having a 1-week long workshop where we dive deep into those topics And yeah, I'm confident it's going to have a lasting impact for the people who register. So that's on my website. I'm a doula, I'm a birth photographer, you know, all that jazz can be found on my Instagram.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much, Olivia, for joining.
Thank you for having me. I enjoyed it.
Thank you so much for listening in. As always, if you enjoyed, leave us a review. It really supports our channel and it helps it to grow and let other people who might be interested in this stuff find us. And then also please just share it, subscribe, love it, whatever it is that you guys do to keep supporting. We appreciate it so much and we will chat on the next episode.